Hello and welcome to It Doesn't Work That Way with me, Kalisha Zachary.
And me, Kashelle Zachary. Kalisha, you sound like you're laughing. What's
funny? I am because I want to sing this song.
What are you hearing?
Make your way to the top.
Round and around.
Shout out to Eddie Murphy, Jennifer Hudson, Anika Noni Rose, Beyonce Knowles. What a Dreamgirls was such a good
movie. Girls. I remember going to see that in the theater.
Yes.
And I didn't know what I was going to get, but I was ready for whatever they was going to show. But I left out of there feeling so inspired.
Yes.
By the sheer talent. You felt the hunger of Jennifer Hudson at that time.
Mm.
Her performance is something I still think about. Like, I believed her Effie White. I believed her Effie White.
I get goosebumps thinking about
me
it.
Me too. Yeah. And so, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that
head. Come on. And it's Eddie Murphy. I know he didn't win the Academy Award. He should have.
He knocked it out the ballpark.
He's such a talent.
The man in so many ways, from Hakeem.
Girl,
Billy Ray Valentine,
Shondo,
Axel Foley.
Yes,
I mean we could just keep going. Marcus Graham.
Yes!
I mean we could keep going and going. Yeah, Eddie's a true treasure.
Eddie, yes. If y'all haven't checked out his work, which his older work, his newer work, whatever it is, Eddie Murphy is a true talent.
Yes, he is,
and you know he's just great. So that song was in my head, so that's why I was doing it. Hi, Kashelle, how are you today?
I'm doing so good. I'm excited to be in front of you. I'm excited about what's our topic? What are we talking about today?
Okay, Kashelle, is all content created on an equal basis?
Oh no!
Wait a minute. In other words, do creators' motivations for making a film influence audience perceptions, their visual appreciation of it, and their social interactions surrounding it?
No, Kalisha. Mm-mm. It doesn't work that way.
Child.
It just doesn't. It doesn't work that way.
First, can I say this, though? First, I think it's important to break down filmmaking, what we do in filmmaking versus other content creation.
Okay.
Respectfully, right?
I think that's fair.
I think it's important.
I think Martin Scorsese speaks on this quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate every time I see a clip from him,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about it. I think Steven Spielberg does the same thing. I think he was showing some film at at South by Southwest, and I think he got so agitated that the audience, I think they were on their cell phones at the time,
ooh.
And he had them stop the screening, and he was like, stop. He was like, y'all, this is a film.
Mm.
Like, this is a film that took and required, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, behind the camera, a wardrobe department, an art department, a special effects department. I mean, he was like, you're getting ready to watch a film. And I think in that moment, it had to ignite that for him to say, yo, stop. I want them to really recognize
so
like,
second
this is
screen,
not a scroll.
So second screen to a director.
Ooh.
So second screen is when you are, and some of us may be so unconscious that we're doing it,
mm-hmm.
but you have a program on, you're
Let's
watching
say a TV.
It, a TV. You're watching it, but you're also looking at your phone.
Which is the second screen.
It's the second
scrolling.
Screen.
Yep.
So I could see from a filmmaker, a storyteller, and I call filmmakers real storytellers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell stories that elevate.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
Like Schindler's List?
Exactly.
Like Jurassic Park?
What are we saying?
And what are then, we doing? Goonies?
Come on.
You know?
And then I've heard Martin Scorsese talk about he's frustrated with the term content.
Ooh,
and
me too.
I am too. And he was, you know, just creatively, you know, expressing himself. And you could hear his frustration. He was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, he said, I'm a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm putting you in front of a 2 or 3 hour film to evoke thinking, understanding, emotion, feelings. And this is not a quick thumb, you know, scroll.
Right.
And he was trying to decipher the difference between how they are trying to basically dump everything in the content bowl. Everything's content. You know, so I love that he was like, no, everything isn't. And so I appreciate those distinctions.
Yeah.
I do think there's an audience for everyone. Yeah. So even me, there are times that I can get on the Instagram and people are making the most creative, funniest.
She sends them to me on a regular.
I'm cracking up and it's a moment. Mm-hmm. It's just that. It's mm-hmm. just a second, a moment where I'm seeing this and I'm like, yo, this is just way too funny.
So creative.
I'm sharing it, you yeah. know, when it hits me a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I understand that there is a niche for that.
Oh yeah.
And then I also understand that there is a art form.
Yes.
And that there is a craft mm-hmm. that requires a different skill set. Thank you for listening to the It Doesn't Work That Way podcast, which is sponsored by Frame of Reference. The series explores the vulnerable and often hectic lives of a close group knit of friends and provides a truthful evaluation of how fear and past misfortunes can define our present point of view. You can stream season one of Frame of Reference on Prime Video.
And yes, and I want to say that I believe those people that can be so creative, and there's one that you sent me, and he does like these, like, Paloma Diamond.
Oh my!
I
can't think of his young man's name. But Paloma Diamond. Paloma Diamond is hilarious.
And I thought to myself, like, man, like that would be someone mm-hmm. from a comical standpoint mm-hmm. that created these characters that are so soap opery and real, and you know,
and performs multiple characters. Slow down and are performed well.
Yes,
his Paloma Diamond. Character is performed so well.
He got a follow.
Yeah, it's total. Another young gentleman that I see that, you know, really just really performs these. It's just so many out there that performs the characters well. And I'll just stay on. There's so many out there. I'm seeing a trend mm-hmm. of people creating their own characters. Mm-hmm. They work.
Yes.
It's funny.
Hilarious.
And it's a moment.
It's totally a moment. And what I see is budding film, oh, comedies.
Yeah. I see it transferable.
Yeah, most definitely.
Most talent is.
Yes.
Most talent is so transferable that it could easily mm-hmm. transition to something mm-hmm. longer, like a longer content form.
Yes, yes. Long form.
Mm-hmm. But for the short form, there's a niche out there for it.
It is.
And I think we have to give respect where respect is due.
Most definitely.
So the short form, I respect it. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
All day.
I enjoy it at times.
Yes.
And then there's the long form that I understand, like, some of these projects are taking years to make.
Correct.
You know, some of these scripts have been, you know, been waiting to be picked up for years and
decades.
Once they're being picked up, they're, you know, spending the time and the talent mm-hmm. and the
money,
creative skill, the resources to bring them fully to life.
Most definitely.
So yeah, I do see the difference.
You said it so well, and I think separating those two is what I think hopefully people will do. Especially for the
time will do that.
Time is gonna do it. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And even when you're looking at things now, when you talk about them in that totality, mm-hmm. because some content creators they create for many different reasons. Mm-hmm. They may be a marketing, you know, mm-hmm. it may be to generate money, entertainment, mm-hmm. going viral, etc. They could do all of those things. Artists, storytellers are taking, you know, a different approach.
Do you have an example?
Cushell Zachary.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
I have one.
Okay, go for it.
So I think a good film for us to dissect in this episode mm-hmm. to show the creative difference is Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, I am so glad you brought up Blink
Sister
Twice.
Kravitz. Yes.
Let's take a moment.
Mm-hmm. For Sister Kravitz.
To give a shout out mm-hmm. to Zoe in her directorial debut.
And Zoe, if you're listening to this, I saw Blink Twice and
I will be seeing it again.
I stood up in my living room mm-hmm. and gave you a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sad that I didn't go to the theater to see this.
Yeah. My schedule was so jam-packed. It was, Zoe. Seriously. I'm not even playing. But when it came on and I could view it, stream it at home.
Yes.
It was, it, to me, I felt like I had a more, I had more of an impactful moment that I did get to watch it at home in my living room. But it was the conversations that we were having after watching the film. So to share a little bit about Zoe Kravitz's film, Blink Twice.
Yes. So before I do that, I just want to say, Blink Twice is what the artistic components that she brought into this visually.
Check.
Her actors were prepared. Shout out to Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I believed every bit of his villain, like every bit.
Correct.
And it was just so thought provoking.
Oh my gosh.
As a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
as someone who has put themselves in situations, not saying something happened to me, but put myself into a situation where I was like, am I supposed to be here?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that will live on in time. And this is the difference between short form and long form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some things I can scroll with my thumb and I probably will never go back and see ever again.
Absolutely.
I'm going back to watch Blink Twice,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
It's one of those films that is a think piece. But just the log line of Blink Twice, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely go get it. It's on Prime. Mm-hmm. Video or wherever you can watch it at. But when tech billionaire Slater King meets cocktail waitress Frida at a fundraising gala, he invites her to join him and his friends for a, and I'm air quoting y'all, dream vacation on his private island. Now that sound good.
It sounds good.
It sounds real good. Wild nights soon blend into soaked days. But when strange things start to happen, Frida must uncover the truth if she hopes to make it out alive. This is Zoe Kravitz directed it, the screenplay. She wrote the screenplay too, Cashel. I feel like it's a legacy film. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I feel like she... why do you like Blink Twice?
I think...
Without giving away spoilers,
I thought that this film held so much substance because it is a universal experience that most women can identify with. I don't care if you are in Saskatchewan, if you're in Dallas, Texas, if you're in Kenya. If you in Israel, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a universal experience that anybody that is if breathing could say, oh, I've been there. I know somebody that's been there. That's personally happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just she just created a universal story that is relatable to so many.
Yeah.
Individuals. There's somebody that saw themselves somewhere in there.
Yeah.
No matter if it was from the infatuation perspective.
Yes.
Whether it's from the drugs and alcohol perspective.
Yes.
Whether it's from,
jetting off with a billionaire.
I mean, from the whether it's a monetary enticement perspective, there were so many variables that you could say, I can relate to that. It was so relatable. But the substance behind it, the message behind, the power dynamics, the misogyny, the areas where she, talked about the sexual assault and the abuse. It was very eye-opening.
It was thoughtful.
It was extremely.
She thought that the entire concept out.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was, she's Zoe Kravitz. Her parents are like, Hollywood to us, at
correct.
Least,
because her mom,
Lisa Bonet is her mom.
Yes.
Cosby Show,
My gosh.
Hillman, a different world.
And then her dad, just a musical.
I love you, Lenny.
Yes.
You got to let love rule. I love Lenny Kravitz. So her father is extremely talented. You know, some people would say she's a Nepo baby. I would say she is one, but with talent. Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by The Watts Announcer. The Watts Announcer is a media brand that covers the amazing emerging talents in the entertainment industry, including movies, TV, and more. The inaugural episode features the cast of Frame of Reference, hosted by Amanda Gattison. The exclusive interview will be available only on the Watts Prod YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe for notifications.
I would definitely say that. And shout out to Naomi Ackie.
Yes, she played Frida.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought her performance was extreme. And Adria.
Yes,
Adrona.
She played her friend.
Yes, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Which, that, it just...
I believe their friendship.
I believed Adria didn't play the friend. She played the ally.
Oh, at the other... that Yeah, okay.
Aaliyah Shawkat played her friend.
Okay, okay.
Yes. But it, the whole story... performance,
mm-hmm.
visual,
mm-hmm.
everything about it is stellar. I'll be surprised if they don't pick up some level of recognition.
And can I say this to the audience? Don't rely on a 15-second TikTok to make your decision about this artwork that Zoe put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would encourage you to... you know, be in a good place when you watch it, because it is very triggering. It is probably the first film I've ever seen with a trigger warning at the inception, which it should have.
Right.
But I would encourage you not to just go off of someone else's opinion.
I agree. And the trigger warning read that the film was a psychological thriller about the abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way she told this story in regards to the abuse of power was powerful. It was so powerful. It was so powerful.
Can I say this too, where you, you know, you talked about, before you talked about how timing, like mm-hmm. our mom was in the hospital, you heard the Rocky thing,
mm-hmm.
the timing of this piece of artwork, right, is so amazing to me with what's happening in the entertainment landscape.
I agree.
Today,
yes.
With the allegations against Sean Combs, with the allegations against, you know, Jeffrey Epstein at the time, Harvey Weinstein, you have these very powerful men.
Bill Cosby.
You know, there was allegations against so many, you know, and I think there's more that could be brought out that we may or may not know, right? But you have these people that are in power, and I think there's one thing you always used to say, like, I'm not gonna let nobody dangle no carrot. And sometimes when you are wanting to be a singer or an actress or whatever, you know, you look at these abuses of power, and one thing I thought about, it's a think piece too, where you talk about it afterwards. Like, if you watch this film and you are not having a conversation of meaning after you see it, I would be like, yo, go back and stop and rewatch that again, because it was so impactful. People need to see it. And it is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable at times, meaning the story, the subject matter is very, very, it's a lot.
It's raw, and it should be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It should be very uncomfortable for us to watch,
yes,
anyone being taken advantage of in that way, which is why I felt like the film was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
She made it very clear about the optics, the perceptions that draw people into these
situations.
And then it turned even deeper when substance abuse came into play,
mm-hmm.
and just the things that we think are casually, you know, oh, we're just having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a line in there. She was like,
blink twice if I'm in danger.
Well, no, it was like, it's something to the effect like, yeah, we're having fun. Like,
are you having a good time?
Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
And it was very real to me.
Mm-hmm.
She did a good job of bringing the harsh reality of those situations and those moments to light,
mm-hmm.
while still trying to land how abusive and how traumatizing and how abusive these situations can be.
And
I'm trying not to give the story
away. I know. And when you have a desire for something, you know, in Frida's case, you know, just like Slater King, she was just like, you know, mm-hmm. we admire people who have achieved what we think is these, you know, wonderful things on their own,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, or without any type of red flags. They mm-hmm. achieve. You mm-hmm. listen to our last episode, we talk about red flag. You know, you see them and you're like, oh, they're powerful. You know, for the love of everything, Diddy got the key to the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that. And, you know, even though he has allegations, nothing has been proven in court except for that video.
Okay,
because I knew you was gonna go there, except for the video that we all seen on CNN. But the allegations against him, you know, this is America, he has his day, he will have his day in court, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see all of that stuff and you think, I want to be in this proximity of this person because they can help me with my singing career, or they can help me with my acting, or they can help me get this contract that I want to do. And
it ties back into the red flags.
Red flag.
And what I believe motivates most red flags is desperation,
mm-hmm.
on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate to have power over someone, mm-hmm. in a very menacing and hurtful way,
mm-hmm.
or desperate to gain favor or, you know, gain access because you feel like that particular person holds the key to that particular door.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, there has to be a level of, again, self-awareness that you have to know who you are. You got to be able to recognize rooms. You have to, and sometimes we're just so excited
to be there
that we will ignore every red flag.
To be there. Be undistracted and really watch the film. It's going to take you somewhere. Emotionally, awareness, thoughtfulness.
What was your question again at the top?
My question again is at the top.
Take your time.
Yeah. Is all content created on an equal basis? I'll just leave it there. And let's just say, yeah, content, films, visuals, you know, is it all created on an equal basis? And which is why we wanted to, you know, delineate between long form and short form. And while both of them are very much, you know, it's a part of the culture, it's a part of what we do. When you have people who have, you know, I would love to sit down with Zoe and ask her, how long did you work on this film? What was it like creating the screenplay? What was, you know, I believe without talking to her, I know her inspiration behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I believe I know what that is. Like, you know, it was suspenseful. It was thrilling. It was, you know, at one point I was literally on my feet yelling and happy. You know, I mean, it was visually storytelling. And that is what real filmmakers do. They elevate the story. They elevate the content. They say something important. You know, they say something to touch your heart, to speak to your soul. And that is not something that you're necessarily just going to get by swiping up and, you know, all of that. You may get a little tickle, a little here, but I highly doubt there's a TikTok I'll go back and watch.
Right. And this show is not attacking short form content.
No, not at all.
We appreciate where it lands in the culture. We
yes.
appreciate it. It's so much a part of it. And then I also see where there is this blur of the lines.
Yes.
Where they're trying to say that it's all the same and that basically everyone's doing the same thing. But it's not. It's not the same thing.
It's not.
And everything has its place and there's an audience for everything.
Yes.
So we want to really amplify that there is someone is engaging. Me, I just
right. We did it at the top.
Right.
I love it.
Like it's being engaged. But when you look at filmmakers, and you mentioned Schindler's List,
okay,
and you know we mentioned Blink Twice,
yes,
and we could also talk about Malcolm X. And so there's just certain things that,
as I call them, legacy films.
Those films, like Do the Right Thing, it's being studied at NYU.
Coming to America.
Oh, my gosh. And so when you have filmmakers that are taking the time to tell a full story that brings you into a world so that you can understand what it was like to be one of Zoe's characters in Blink Twice. Mm-hmm. She wanted you to have that moment of the main character, mm-hmm. from the moment of infatuation, mm-hmm. being awed by the glitz and glamours of the world,
the wealth,
going on this
private jet, private with island, this beautiful man. Correct. It's like, who, come on.
Right.
Yes.
And then all the discovery that they started to find out after a while, because the fantasy, the escapism, mm-hmm. they would just question it, like, what day is it?
Oh, you guys have to see it.
Yeah, it was, it's amazing. And then for them to finally wake up,
yeah,
and begin to be like, wait a minute, who am I really sitting at the table with?
And can I say that this is, and you know, we probably want to put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode, sure. not knowing that it was going to go there, but I do want to say, it's important because there are people who have been through that situation where they realize that they were with a monster.
Okay.
And it didn't start off that way.
Correct.
And
right. Most people are not willingly
like, hey, I'm going to roll with this. But see, there are people who there's blame culture. Like, no matter what you have happen, like when this whole situation, it'll be somebody that'll be like, I mean, you should have known. Like, how would you know? Like, you go into a place and you're like, I'm a singer, I'm an actress. I could be walking into some major studio and they're like, yes, and you want that deal. You want that deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be so to get there and be like, you didn't know that the head of the studio was a predator? No, I didn't.
Right.
You know, if you're not in them circles, you're not going to know. But what I thought was so powerful was that, you know, she didn't open up where we knew. We didn't know. If you've seen the previews, you see the previews, but you have to go in there to kind of say, like, what is happening here? And she takes you on that journey of them discovering what was going on.
And I feel like she beautifully revealed all the red flags at the right moment within the story.
The pacing was on point.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Shout out to the editor.
Yes.
I don't know who edited that film. I have beautiful. To look that up, but I want to take a moment, as we're producers, because
mm-hmm.
Shell's a writer, director, a producer, I'm a producer, but I want to tell you, editing and pacing
is so important. Can we say that again?
Editing and pacing is so important, short form or long form.
I would agree.
You know, it's important to how you tell the stories, and great editors do it so well.
They do it so well.
They hit every beat, and you know, so the pacing of that story was beautiful. It was visually shot. The acting was on point.
It was.
She had hidden gems in there
all day. Sister Kravitz. Sister Zoe Kravitz, we want to applaud you.
Yes.
And we want to thank you for putting together such a beautiful story, a necessary story,
mm-hmm.
beautifully told.
Yes.
The message landed, and it landed hard. It made me think about so many things in so many ways. So I applaud what you did, and it was done so beautifully.
Yes.
And I just want to thank you for having the courage to allow us to see your heart in that way. Go ahead.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for your perseverance there, because, you know, I'm sure she met with some roadblocks, even if her name is Zoe Kravitz.
I agree.
Okay. I have to land 2 points, and then we'll wrap up.
I'm ready.
One, all human beings have the inherent ability to create.
I agree.
I think that in itself is very important to land in this episode.
I agree.
And when it comes to the topic that we're talking about, you know, about creating, it is important to understand what your intention is.
Ooh.
Just off the jump.
Say that again and just a little slower.
Yes, ma'am. When it comes to creating,
yes,
it is vitally important to understand your reason, your intent for creating.
It's everything.
It is everything. What do you, everyone, the story that's in you, the you're driving down the street, you
come up,
the song, the art, the painting, the sculpture, the book, the cartoon,
the anime, whatever it is.
It is your God-given right, okay, to express that, to create that if you choose, period. So we all have the ability to create. There is what makes us in awe of some people, you know, what makes us in awe of Brother Washington, or, you know, that's Denzel Washington, mm-hmm. or Brother Jordan, that's Michael B. I smile big at Michael B. Jordan, but you know, whatever that is, it is what makes us say, oh, wow, is because of the time of what they've given up, what they've sacrificed. Ooh. to hone their craft.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're really in awe of their discipline.
You're really in awe. Michael Jordan.
Oh my God.
Like, we was in awe of his discipline.
Because we saw it on the court.
Serena Williams.
We see it.
Venus.
Yes, that's what you're really in awe of.
Right.
I agree.
If you think about that, you're in awe of their ability.
And we all have that ability. So in essence, we're all leaders.
In essence, we are all leaders.
Whether we realize that or not.
The question is, don't pervert your leadership, because you should never be in control of another person.
And on that note.
Wait a minute, I got another point to land. Creative expression is a key. This is a key. And we love to drop keys in our episodes, but creative expression is vital to a healthy and open-minded society.
I agree.
Art inspires people, gives them hope, and can touch a soul in a way that words cannot.
I would agree.
The artist has a unique skill set to influence, inspire, and help others. And as dark as this industry can be, there's also light. It's not all darkness. There is light. Watts Productions is the light in the industry. You know what I mean? In a good way.
Yes.
Because our light is not evil or darkness. Our light is built on integrity, patience, and respect, love, kindness. Like, we mean that, and we want to create that environment. We put everything into our work. But it is so important for artists to be artists and to be able to create unencumbered from all of whatever that happens in the world, because you can change. We watched Lion King, a cartoon, and Simba dying. We all crying. Mm-hmm. Give me one person who didn't cry when not Simba, Mufasa.
We all did.
Come on.
We all.
That was a touch of the heart.
Yes.
So, again, you know, I'll wrap it up here, but Sister Kravitz, to Kashelle's point, I'll echo that again. Thank you for your courage. To our audience, go see it for yourself. Please. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, do that for like all the shows and the movies. You know what I mean? Figure out if you really like it. Don't let someone always tell you what you like. I think that's important, because we like to get people's reviews. And while that's great, I look at a review on Yelp, right? Some stuff I'll try for myself if I like that food, but I know what I like, right? So, Kashelle.
Yes.
This was fun.
This was very good. I appreciate us getting a little bit more underneath the craft, and kind of touching on the things that we're seeing in the industry and in the culture. So yeah, I appreciate this conversation, especially when we get to talk about things that affect our humanity. So
yes,
yeah,
I love it. Amazing. So thank you guys for listening to It Doesn't Work That Way. As always, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Bye.